Fred Locken is a political science professor at Truckee Meadows Community College. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Eric Herzig, he chairs the political science department here at UNR. Welcome to Eric as well.
Thanks for having me.
And Eric, we know that Ted Cruz came out on top for the Republicans with Donald Trump and Marco Rubio just behind. On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton beat Bernie Sanders by the slimmest of margins. Did any of these results surprise you?
Not really. The polls maybe indicated that Trump was going to win, but this was not Trump's best arena, and it was Ted Cruz's absolute best arena. And if Ted Cruz didn't win this, we would be talking about Ted Cruz probably dropping out. Iowa generally votes for the most conservative evangelical in the crowd, and that's Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, on the positive side, had a terrific ground game, got out his people, put that together. Yeah, he won. And you could even start second-guessing now. Yes, he won, but given how favorable that state's demographics are, should he have won by even more? I think Rubio actually was the big winner coming out of Iowa, because Rubio has now gone to the top of the pile in terms of the alternative, pragmatic Republican in the race.
And Fred, you look eager to jump in.
Well, I would just say that I think for both Eric and I, we're finally happy to see something like Iowa occur, because we had to be very doubtful of the poll data. We've gone through 6 months of hype and campaign distortion, and my heart goes out to the few people in Iowa that actually participate in the caucus. I always love the overspin on caucus participation. You have over 2 million voters in the state of Iowa, and you get, 250,000 out of 2 million to show up at the two caucuses. And somehow this is America speaking in a state that's not like the rest of the country, either demographically or politically. But so we had to get over Iowa. That being said, I think I was pleasantly surprised that poll data was closer than I thought it was going to be. So the poll data was pretty much predicting something of this outcome coming into it. Eric spot on in terms of this was the state Cruz had to concentrate on. His effort, I sometimes wonder, for return for investment. We follow campaigns all the time. You see people spend a great deal of money and not really, they pay per vote so much. And Cruz, I would love to see what he actually spent in the state. It's huge. Now, he probably figures that he's going to get it back in the contributions, being able to win it. But he should have won this much more significantly than he did. So all of the, we get the top three. It worked on the Republican side. We are seeing the dropouts and the whittling away down of a way too large of a Republican group. So that's good. And we generally find that the three that are on top each have advantages and disadvantages going forward. So this is one of those things that literally could make it all the way to the summer conventions in July. So on the Republican side, it doesn't tell us really much about where this race is going to go, but at least we now have some data that we can work with.
Do you feel like you learned more about the Democratic side?
Well, the Democrats, that maybe is more of the surprise, at least for me. I mean, you can talk close, but this is like ridiculously close. And it was kind of a do or die for Hillary Clinton, and she, by her actions of her campaign, it made it that way. And for Bernie, it was a chance to just, come up and bite her, and he did a very effective job of that. And the galvanization of the college vote in that state, getting the liberal base that does exist in a state like Iowa to turn out in the numbers that they did for him at a fraction of the cost of what it incurred to the Clinton administration or the Clinton campaign. This was something she just skated by, and I think she was relieved. But I would have thought a little bit more, maybe a 4 or 5% gap. So that was a surprise for me.
Right. And Eric, now we're heading into New Hampshire. How do you think Bernie Sanders will perform in that state before heading into Nevada?
Bernie Sanders catches a break that the first two contests really are favorable towards him. In Iowa, you have a well-educated, overwhelmingly white Democratic Party. He was able, as Fred said, to galvanize that college vote. And he's going to do that, I think, in every state. And so it was a pretty good contest for him. And then New Hampshire, he lives right next door. And I think the Clinton people expected that. Fred's right. It was do or die, really, for Clinton in Iowa. She could not afford to lose that. And regardless of how razor thin it was, a win's a win for her in this particular setting. The bigger concern I would have as Democrats watch this, it's like, so Bernie's got the passion. Bernie's people, they show up. They're not as experienced with politics, and so these are newcomers. All that's good, except it kind of shows you the problem Hillary Clinton has had it in 08, she's still got it now, that there's just not the excitement for Hillary Clinton. It's like, what's her theme? Why should we vote for you? And it's, well, because I'm Hillary and I'm the adult choice.
And then hopping over New Hampshire, then we've got the Nevada caucuses. I mean, how did what occurred in Iowa potentially impact Nevada's caucuses?
On the Democratic side, I don't think it had that much effect because, now you've got two candidates. They're going to go state to state. And then it's a question of which state lines up best for which candidate. The first two states kind of front-loaded for Bernie Sanders, but Nevada is not as favorable for Bernie Sanders. The Democratic organization and most of the name Democrats have come out and backed Hillary Clinton. She has on-the-ground organization that isn't going to rely necessarily on college students showing up.
How different is her organization on the ground versus Bernie Sanders?
Well, one, she's been here for a year. I was contacted last spring, so almost a year ago, by organizers from her. Well, we're looking for interns. We're here. And they were doing trainings. Sanders is really relying on that kind of college student energy. All that's good. It brings new people. And he can say, I'm taking the page out of Barack Obama's book. By the same token, it does matter in getting people out to vote. It does matter in a sense who's backing you, and Clinton has most of the big names lined up.
I fully agree. You know, you have the organization for Bernie Sanders coming into the state in late November, early December. We just got a state director not even 2 months ago that was named. So the organization on the ground doesn't have the pragmatism and the structure that Clinton's has. We always believe that that legwork up front makes a difference, especially in a caucus situation. So the ability to get out the vote is an edge for Hillary right now, I think, in what will happen in our Democratic caucus on the 20th. That aside, I also agree that the energy levels in a state like Nevada are different than Bernie's been encountering. I love our college students, but I think they're wired a little differently in places like New Hampshire and Iowa. And so although we will find a passionate connection, I don't think it'll be quite to the degree, mostly because we're far more cynical about politics, and we ingrain that early in each succeeding generation.
And then also looking to Nevada's caucuses, Fred, in terms of Republican candidates, we don't have poll information to really show who's on top, but which candidates do you think might best resonate with Nevada voters?
Well, I think Trump has a problem in Nevada, and it's the same problem that he had in Iowa. He has no ground game here at this point in time, and now he has, I would argue, way too short a window to do one. So again, he's relying on his personal charisma to engage people who traditionally have not participated in the Republican caucus process to show up in numbers. Rubio is the one, I think, to watch in the Nevada Republican caucus.
Why? What is his power in Nevada?
He's doing a really good job of having come here. He is friend-raising like crazy, getting some of the key endorsements. His money-raising and the ability for his campaign to use that money to his advantage in the caucus process. And there's a certain increased energy level when you hear about Rubio as opposed to Cruz. So I think Rubio is the one that could emerge as the star.
We did, though, see Ted Cruz pull ahead in Iowa. Eric, do you think he's built that kind of connection with Nevada voters?
Cruz's strategy in Iowa, and I think it's going to be all along, is he's got an identified base, and he's going to milk every vote he can get out of it. And this is actually one of the national splits among the Republican Party, is that many Republicans feel, well, we can win if all the evangelicals vote. It's not a very broad-based campaign. I think they're going to hammer the rurals, and they're going to try to get whatever they can from the evangelical vote, although in Nevada that historically has just not been that great. Rubio is better positioned to, as Fred said, he's been here. When he comes, he draws a more diverse crowd in terms of types of Republicans. It's not just a singular base. Trump, I agree with Fred in terms of he's depending upon just his charisma. He got more than I expected in Iowa from that. They had high turnout. The evangelicals, although, turned out at a higher rate than the Trump supporters. I just wonder if the Trump supporters will continue to show up state after state after state.
we've had reporters out in the field covering different rallies, and I have to say Donald Trump's most recent rally had several thousand people that he attracted versus some of the smaller rallies that are, you know, sort of the crowd counts were a little disappointing.
Well, Trump can draw a crowd, and he did in Iowa. And he's the non-traditional candidate. He's ripped up the rule book, all the cliches. By the same token, in Iowa, the candidate who played most by the rule book in terms of visiting every county, going to all the precincts meetings, Ted Cruz, actually won.
And Donald Trump is still Donald Trump after Iowa.
Yes.
And if he gets back on his program, I think there's still, you know, the frustration in America has not dissipated because of Iowa. It's still there. I think he still resonates, still connects. He is a primary state candidate. He is not a caucus state candidate. And the problem in 2016 is the majority of the states are caucuses, not primaries, which is why this notion of a brokered convention on the Republican side still dances out there. It's very possible that these three front runners each have their own set of states in America that they will play well in. And not one of them will actually rise to the point of a first ballot victory. In Nevada, what's interesting, I heard the analysis and I do buy into it. We've been exposed in this election so far to the reality of what the real split in the Republican Party is. I think it's the most obvious we've ever seen it. And in Iowa, it was very pronounced. But we now can attach numbers to it. And in the reality that Cruz got around 30%, suggests that that's the size of the conservative base of the Republican Party in the United States today. May fluctuate a bit state to state, but it's true in Nevada too. In that sense, the other two, Trump and Rubio, are currently dividing what is the majority of the Republican Party. And in a different, more typical kind of an election year, Ted Cruz would be dealt with pretty early on. You know, he'd still win Iowa, but the rest of his future as a candidate wouldn't look good because the other one would start clicking off in the states that really appeal to a majority of the Republicans out there today. Because we have this triumvirate, that's a dynamic that could affect it. But I think Nevada fits that perfectly, is that there is a majority of Republicans in this state that aren't interested in Cruz, but they're what's going to get divided between two candidates.
Fred Locken, a political science professor at Truckee Meadows Community College, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Michelle.
And Eric Herzig, he chairs the political science department at the University of Nevada, Reno. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
For Reno Public Radio News, I'm Michelle Billman.